listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He is good. Yes, He is good.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth in relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
We talk about your goodness. We stay in your goodness. We just thank you that you are God and there is no equal. We thank you, Father, in advance for everything that you purpose to do today. It shall be done. It shall be manifested because we stand in agreement. We are here waiting with expectation, with excitement, because there's no other place that can deliver us like you. You are our God and we rest in you. We talk to you. We listen to you, but we're quick to do what you tell us to do. We thank you for your anointing that is present to heal, to deliver, to set the captives free. And we just call these things manifested right now in Jesus' name. And all in agreement say, amen. You may have a seat. Doing a series on Back to the Future. So how many of us need to get in the future and leave the past behind? 2020 is where it is and where it was. And we released it. We no longer want it because we got better things ahead of us. But we gotta move. We gotta move. We gotta go to the next level, because God made that available to us. So I'm gonna do a quick review. And one of the things we said about 2020 or the past, it said even if the past isn't good, at least it's predictable. So sometimes people stay in the past because it's predictable. They know what's gonna happen. They know what's next. But there's no faith involved in that. You don't have to have faith to live in the past. So let's look at how our past impacts our present. Do you guys think it does? Okay. All right. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, this thing is awesome. And in the Amplified Bible says, I'm going to read the whole thing first. A happy heart is good medicine, and a joyful mind causes healing. But a broken spirit dries up the bone. Sounds like arthritis to me. So let's break it down. A happy heart. What kind of heart is that? What kind of heart is a happy heart? Can you have a happy heart and think negative thoughts? So it would have said a sad heart does what? What does a sad heart do? Y'all know anybody got a sad heart? Well, y'all holler out to me some of the things a sad heart would say. Because remember, thoughts say something. Anger, happiness says something.
Gloomy.
Gloomy, okay?
It's never going to get better.
Never going to get better. Not good enough.
If it ain't one thing, it's enough.
So if you get healed on one thing, something else got to come up. And what do you say? I don't feel good. But he says, this is what the scriptures say. This is what God says. A happy heart is good medicine. So you can be medicine to yourself based off what you thought, what you think. And see, what we know is about human behavior is if you think something, you're going to say something. You're not going to keep that to yourself because you're going to be so excited. Man, you know, you met people. Anybody ever been mad at you because you got a happy heart? And how do they know you got a happy heart? Because you're smiling. You got a pep in your step. You're not walking like this. You're walking like, can't keep up. That's how I find my wife. You know how in stores they had the high shelves in the grocery store? All I got to do is like, and boom, 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 boom. That's how she walk. A happy heart moves. What does a sad heart do? Drag. They wake up sad. But write this down. My emotions is a choice. When I wake up in the morning, I have a choice to make. Do I want to be happy or do I want to be sad? But everybody has challenges, but it's not the challenge. It's how you process the challenge. What are you going to do with the thought that you have? So you wake up in the morning and you're feeling sad. So what are you going to do with that? Speak to it. What would you say? I choose to be happy. Do you think it or you say it? The mind has to stop to hear what the mouth has to say. So you need to say something. And it goes on to say, good medicine. So think about what you're looking at. Think about what you're dealing with. Think about what you're focusing on and change your focus so that the medicine, your mindset, the things that you say out of your mouth can be manifested to your body. Body, this is what you're going to do. Pain, I'm speaking to you and I'm commanding you to stop. You have no right, no authority in my body. So I'm going to take that thought and I'm going to make it obey God's word. But if God's word is in me, when I'm speaking God's word. And it says a joyful mind. So it's two separate things, your heart and your mind. So you have a joyful mind. That means that mind has things in it that is excited about what's going to happen next. You have to make that decision. And it causes healing. So wherever there is sickness, you have the ability to speak to your body and make it well. Or are you going to just lay there and let it stay the way it is? And it goes on to say, but a broken spirit dries up the bone. Bones, so it's plural. It doesn't just dry up one bone. It dries up bones with an S. So what is a broken spirit? Now, a broken spirit goes from your mindset into who you are. The spirit man is the real you. So you can have think so many thoughts for so long that those thoughts become a part of who you really are, which is your spirit man. Your spirit man is supposed to sustain you. But when you get negative and you focus on the negative, then that becomes a part of your spirit. That becomes a part of who you really are. And so what would a broken spirit say to itself? How would you dry up your bones? What would you say in order to produce that? Man, I tell you, I'm just tired. I'm wore out. I'm ready to see the Lord. Now, nothing wrong with seeing the Lord, but it's the Lord's time. Is it the Lord's time? Because he said it's given to man once to die, and then after that, the resurrection. You make sure you finish your work so that God can say about you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, meaning you did. It's okay to come home now because you finished your course. Jesus didn't leave until he had finished his course. So what is it that you're telling yourself that you need to stop telling yourself? How bad it is? The coronavirus really shut everything down? What else? Y'all can shout it out. I got one in the back.
I heard this girl on Instagram who created a whole song about how the earth is ghetto and she wants to leave.
The earth is ghetto and she wants to leave.
So it became, other people started singing the same song to show how they could remix it.
Okay.
And it took everything in me not to inbox it. I don't know her.
Okay.
Just to tell her, you don't know what it is you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people saying it now, according to what you just shared. You guys heard it? Okay. What are you saying though? What are you saying in your household? Cause you can drop your bones. I'm just saying. right, so let's look at how our past impacts us. Our past robs us of enjoying the present. Somebody sitting right here now, they at the breakfast table eating. They sit right here. Look to your neighbor, wherever you are as you're watching, and you got you got your family inside. Look, ask them, what restaurant you at? And if they say they're at a certain restaurant, smack them. Just smack them. Just smack them. So you need to be at church. You're supposed to be at church. How can you enjoy where you are if you're not there? You ever been talking to somebody and you're sharing your heart with them and they interrupt you to tell you something else? What do you do with that? You stop talking. You're mad. You're like, I never bring them how I'm feeling, but when I share it with you, that means I need to talk. And then you interrupt and tell me about your little dog and your little cat or the meal you just had. Come on. You sitting with somebody, you at a restaurant, and they're checking the phone all the time. Y'all ever been? We got a law at our house and restaurants. No phone allowed. I'm telling you, and people were resistant. Y'all got youngsters? No, I'm not even talking to youngsters. I'm talking to adults. Where your husband say that it's okay, honey, you just don't know. I got to check this. Oh, check the game. Uh-oh. Any y'all checking the game? I know it's a big one this today, right? Checking the game. What else you checking? But how does the person sitting in front of you feel? You're robbing them of your presence. Some people come home from work and they still at work. You're robbing the present moment. Because tell you a little secret, after a while, people are going to stop talking to you because they know you're not there. So you just took a relationship that could enhance and cause you to grow. So living in the past robs us of enjoying the present. I mean, with children that grow up, you know, it's like you better enjoy them because they're going to grow quick. Once they get to a certain age, they just grow. It's just like they just take off. But you didn't spend time with them. If only I could have. And then the thing you got there, most people are working from home. So you got to look at the fact that you can't say that you don't have time now because most of the time you're at home. You don't have time to spend with your children. You don't have time to spend with your family. You married the person. Say married. For those who married, you married the person. So how do you enjoy them? You got more time to spend with them. Okay, let me keep on going. The past impacts us by allowing us to avoid handling issues in the past. So see, if we don't want to handle something, we just don't want to deal with it. But the past allows us to avoid handling issues in the future. So if I stay in the past, I don't have to deal with the IRS. But guess what? Is that going to stop the IRS? Compounding interest. I got a question.
Pastor, someone virtually said, at what point are we done learning from the past?
It all depends. You can grab something from the past and then go take it into the future, but you shouldn't live in the past. Because try driving on 95 or 64, which is about 70 miles an hour, by looking in your rearview mirror. There's a crash coming on because you're looking in your rearview mirror. Now, you're supposed to, if you're driving, you're supposed to peep in it, but you're not supposed to live it. So if I can grab something from my past to take to my future, that's the only reason I should visit my past. Amen? Our past can cause social isolation. Because if you got a friend that's moving forward, you don't want to talk to them because of what? All they're talking about is the plans for the future. And you keep trying to talk about the past. Well, you know, when in 62 years old, you talk about, well, in 1955, I was this. I was the star player. Well, we into 2021. So you start to social isolate. Have any of you guys all grew your friends? And they start to act funny to you when you start to talk about things? But God created us for relationships. And I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about relationships. He created us for relationships so that we can talk and interact and grow by interacting with people. When they want you to punish in prison, they put you in isolation. So that way you got to deal with you. So if your thoughts are jacked up, being by yourself create what? More jacked up thoughts. Go ahead.
Now, Pastor, at what point is it bad that every time you outgrow someone, you leave? Like, is that a bad habit to have? I mean, you still have your husband. That's your best friend.
Okay.
And you got the Lord.
Uh-huh.
So
the question was?
Is it bad to leave once you outgrow someone?
No. Now, let me prerequisite, okay? Because the scripture makes it clear, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So you can outgrow a person, but you can also still have a certain relationship with them. What I'm talking about is where you stay with someone that is not growing. What I mean by that, I'm not talking about marriages, okay? Because in marriages, you knew what you were getting. Okay, okay. All right, I'm gonna step back for security reasons. You knew what you were getting, but we decide that we can change them. Now, don't stone me, but this happens more so on women's side than men's side. Okay, y'all okay? Everybody okay? All right. I married him because I feel like I can change him. Men thinking you get what you get. Am I lying on men? This is your opportunity. Oh, they say I'm mighty weak, guys. They say I'm mighty weak. So, if I know what I'm getting, then if I want change to take place, I have to be the example of the change that I want to take place. But if that change is not taking place, then I have a God that I can go to and talk to about. But you make sure you talk to the person first. And then if change is not taking place, then there's a part of you that has to make a decision about, okay, what am I going to focus on? What I have or what's missing? Now, I'm going to just use the man as the example. Okay. All right. Man, I'm working with y'all. So don't leave me. All right. So what will happen is if you focus on what you have, you will say, my husband does 10 things right, but only 3 things wrong. Now, how do you weigh that? So you got 10 that's going well and 3 that's a challenge. Can you live with 10 to 3? Uh-oh. Can you say it? Go ahead on it. Okay. It was Nicole.
If the 3 are deal breakers, like crucial things, I think I would want to know a little bit more.
Okay. So, but once again, you knew this before you married him. So if those 3 was deal breakers, then what did you say to yourself in order to marry him? It's real stuff, guys. I'm asking y'all questions. Okay. What did you say? Because you knew it. You knew he didn't. No, I'm not even going to mess with the trash. Where my lady at with the trash?
Right here, Pastor.
Okay,
I'm
right here.
I also had
you knew he didn't empty the trash before. Like, Curly knew I couldn't cook. Okay, go ahead. We're dealing with the past. Done. Go ahead.
So I get what you're saying, Pastor.
Okay, all right.
We already knew what we were getting when we signed that paper.
We uh-huh.
And we wore that dress and we got our hair done and our makeup done. We already knew, right? Okay.
Okay.
But are we in the process of this relationship, this marriage, are we never supposed to expect that they get better at those 3 things?
That's where your faith comes in.
But what now?
That's where your faith comes in. But you knew it and you signed up for it. So that's where your faith come in. I'm believing that. So Father, name did you got to find a scripture. Go ahead and write this down. Let's just solve this issue, right? Let's go ahead and solve this issue. All right. So before we pray, we're going to talk to our spouse. Okay? So we're going to talk to him. But when you come to him, remember about the mote and the beam? Okay? I know I got this mote in my eye. And you got this beam in yours. So the person I'm approaching already got a little beam and a mote in their eye. But you got the beam, okay? So you going to approach this situation. You say, honey, I know I got some challenges in my life. And, you know, just freak them out. Just stick your hand out. I know I got a beam in my eye. But I'm coming to you about a mote that's in yours. Now, what did I just do? So who wouldn't listen to that? So, but we'll talk about my beam later on at another time. But I just want to talk about the mote that's in your mote that's in your eye. Okay? And so then you only bring up one scenario, but you want to talk about how it will enhance your relationship if this is changed. because everybody want to know what's in it for me. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So you approach it. You say, we'll talk about my stuff later, whenever you want to, but I want to talk about this little speck that's in your eye. I think that if you would consider changing this area or growing in this area, that our relationship could be a lot better. I mean, that one change could do this, 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 and this. So you make sure you see, we approach everything with information, but discussions. Y'all see what I'm saying? So pastor sharing how you do this, and you say, well, I should just be able to bust up in there. Look, if you don't change this, I'm leaving. You just marked something, and you can't get away from that mark. So you anchored something. So then you just give examples, but you're not raising your voice, and you're not giving ultimatums. If you don't change this, I'm going to do this. If you don't change this, I'm going to do this. You are saying, you're speaking based off the fact that you believe that this change is going to take place. So now you share the incident, you share an example, but you're only dealing with one. You're not going to bring up 15 things. And write this down as a part of the process. Anything over 24 hours shouldn't be discussed. Because you're going, then you will be accused of bringing up the past. Uh-oh. So, because the scripture says, it tells us, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. So it can only be brought up within 24 hours. And then you offer, do you have any questions? Because you want to answer everything. Because when y'all get up from that table, you or wherever you are, you're meeting, you want to make sure it's crystal clear what you are asking the change to be. And then from there, depending on what is said, you say, can we pray about it? Notice you are asking for permission, not because you can't pray, but what is prayer without agreement of what we just discussed? And then how long? Let me ask you get this. I see. Let me ask you this. How long did it take you to change? Oh, somebody said lifetime. Appreciate your honesty. So don't go around looking for the change. If it's God and you're believing, you stood in agreement, you prayed, then what's happening is you will see it, but as not looking for it. You believe for a job. You apply for multiple jobs and all of a sudden it came. You believe for a spouse. Uh-oh. All of a sudden it came. So stop looking for the change to take place. Just go about your business. You understand what I'm saying? Because if you're looking for the change, you're focusing on what you don't have instead of what you do. Now, I see I got a couple questions coming at me. This girl stood up out of her post and left the post and just said, look, this is important. So you want to continue to live your life as if it has already taken place. Because that's what faith does. Okay? I got a question right here.
Okay, that sounds good.
Sound good. Okay, here's the butt. Y'all hear the butt?
How if someone come to you say, you know, this will enhance the relationship, how does that not become manipulation?
Because manipulation would be you not telling them.
Okay.
So I'm making everything clear. This is how it would enhance the relationship. Manipulation says, if you don't do this, I'm going to do this. Okay. If you don't do this, I'm going to leave you. Okay. If you don't do this, I'm going to divorce you. That's manipulation, is saying that if you don't change the way I want you to change, then this relationship is over. Now, that's different. It's about cheating. Y'all understand there is, okay? But remember, you knew what you were getting when you got it. All right, who was that lady left the post? Okay.
Keep your mask up.
And her husband is the one handing her the mic, so this ought to be pretty interesting.
No, so I'm going to be honest.
I hope you will.
So I know I got some beams and moats and all of that. Okay.
All right.
So, but while I'm waiting for this change, you did say, you know, step out on faith, let that thing go.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I have learned that somewhere over the 11 years,
okay,
I'm mad about that thing.
Okay.
So while I'm waiting, what do I need to do to help me to get to that waiting period? Cause I'm mad.
Okay. First you gotta go. You gotta forgive her. Cause you said for 11 years.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, I'm just saying.
Okay. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
It's been a while. So before I have the conversation, I need to forgive.
Yes. Because if you don't forgive, let me show you what he's hearing. Let me get four guys come up and y'all stand in front of me. Okay. Now, each one of y'all got a name. Ashley, give me some names of what you would have stored up in 11 years. Resentment, bitterness, what else?
Yeah, resentment.
Okay, will you resent? Okay.
Anger.
Anger. Remember your name.
Disappointment. And fear.
Fear. Okay. Now Ashley, I need you to come up. Okay. All right, you stand right there. Step over just a little bit. Okay. You can still see the people. Now, who are you?
Anger.
Who are you?
Resentment.
Who are you?
Fear.
Who are you?
Disappointment.
Now, Ashley's trying to talk to me, but because she has years worth of resentment, then every time she's trying to talk to me, I can't hear her because you guys are going to speak. And so you're going to pull something from who you are, your titles. Okay. All right. So Ashley, you asking me what? Ashley, I can't hear you. What are you saying? What are you saying? Ashley, what are you saying? Okay. Okay. And now I can't hear what Ashley is saying because who's talking for? Who's talking for?
Anger.
Her past. Now, let's say Ashley forgives. What's your name?
Resentment.
Let's say Ashley forgives resentment. Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive resentment. She don't even want to play. Okay, go, okay, resentment, you can leave.
I want to forgive disappointment.
I'm not going to do that anymore.
What's your
anger? I'm no longer angry, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much.
So, Ashley, what were you saying? Okay, honey, I will try to be home as soon. Matter of fact, let me call and see, can I get somebody to take my place so I can come home? I tell you what I'll do. I'll bring dinner with me. Okay? All right, thank you.
All right. Done that.
Now, can you see how important it is to forgive? Because when you are in unforgiveness, the person can't hear what you're saying based off what's in you. Remember, 10% is words, 20% is body language, and what is left? 70% is perverbal. That's what's on the inside of you. So you don't have to even be aware. Can you tell when somebody mad at you when they talking to you? Because they didn't tell you they were mad, but you can read what's on the inside of them. So if unforgiveness is present, they can tell. That's why it's extremely important that when you can't say good morning to each other, you need to come to counseling. Because you just woke up and you woke up mad. So you cannot talk to each other, because if you can't say good morning, then it's obvious that there's so much stuff stacked up that you can't communicate.
But I think you answered. So you couldn't hear what she was saying because she had built up all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not that she couldn't hear you.
Right. She can hear me because she's going for it.
Okay.
Yeah. She wants to make the point, but she can hear me, but I can't hear her.
Okay, gotcha.
Because I'm hearing all these other things that she is in unforgiveness towards me about.
Okay.
That's why it's so important to forgive. Okay? All right, everybody straight? All right, I got a question over here.
What about the person who needs to be forgive others?
Okay. Can you give me an example?
Okay. Let's just say I ticked off somebody and I didn't know it.
Okay.
But that person's angry with me, so I need to forgive. Or I need to be forgiven by that person.
Okay. All right. So they are ticked
off. They're angry with me.
Uh-huh. But you don't know what about.
But I have no clue why.
Okay.
But I want the forgiveness because I can see the difference in that person.
Okay. So if you feel comfortable, Christianity is different. Now, let me just be real about that. Christianity is different. What I mean by that is some people take Christianity as a block that stops you from growing, where in reality, you're supposed to be more assertive as a Christian. So some people don't think that you can confront things because you are a Christian, and that's not accurate. I just don't see Jesus walking in the temple, turning it over, you messing up my father's house. So you can walk up to a person and say, it appears as if our relationship is different. Is there something that I did towards you? And it's okay to do that. And they can say yes or no. But this is my rule. Once I ask you and you don't tell me, I'm not going to process it anymore. Yeah. So once you ask them and they didn't say anything, it's time for you to move forward. And so moving forward means that so you think you did something to them and they didn't say. So Father, I release Billy Bob and Sally Joe to you. And I'm not going to hold on to this anymore. I'm not going to focus on it. I'm going to focus on what I have. And that is, I have 20 other friends, and I'm going to leave Billy Bob alone and Sally Joe, but I'm going to speak to them. I'm going to speak, smile, and walk free. That's what I do to people that's offended by me. If I ask you whether I did anything and you said no, then after that, I speak, I smile, and walk free. I'm not going to try to make you talk to me. That's codependent. That means that my life depends on you smiling at me, speaking to me, for me to continue. And I just don't see how that works. Amen?
Amen.
Good question. All right. Anything else? Y'all got it? All right. Our past can create our attitudes, our feelings, our behaviors, and our beliefs. That's what our past can do. It creates our attitude. So the situation doesn't create our attitudes. The way we process the situation or the way we allow it to manifest. Our feelings, our behaviors, these are all the things that our past does. If we live in that, we are right now basically what our past has done to us that is unprocessed. So you don't trust men because of what that last man did to you. You don't trust women because of what that last woman did to you. That's living in the past. Go ahead.
Okay, so going with that, the attitudes, feelings, behavior, and beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
I recognize that the person I was maybe 5 years ago was totally a different person than who I am today.
Okay.
But when people still see you in that light of yesterday, mm-hmm. how do you deal with that? Because do I just continue to speak, smile, and walk free?
Yes.
Okay, because at some point, if I'm trying to change,
mm-hmm.
you know, if loving you is hurting me, I'm changing.
That's right.
Okay, so I'm changing and I'm seeing my own changes, but some people are still holding me to that old person.
Gotcha. Okay. So a lot of times when we change, what happens with the relationships that we had, we are seen as a threat. Because when I cursed, then you cursed. Now, I'm not cursing, but you're cursing. So what happens is you remind the person of how they could grow. So you are no longer welcome in that community. Do you understand what I'm saying? So how many of y'all have been called holier than thou? Okay, so we got a couple. So were you cussing when you were called holier than thou? What were you doing when you were called? You had new behavior. You had new attitudes. You had new beliefs. You had new feelings. And you were new. And so when I'm talking to someone who's older in our relationship, not based off age, but I outgrew them based off my relationship with Christ. So it was a lot easier for them because when I say, let's go do this, and we knew it was wrong, you didn't say anything. But now when they say, let's go do this, you're going to say, no, I'm not into that. So just know that you can outgrow people, but they want you to be who you used to be. And they think that by bringing up your past, you will convert back to it. Number two, they think by bringing up your past, you're going to defend it. Because when you approached them this time, you had a pep in your step. You were excited. They could see it. Now, how do I get Billy Bob to be who he used to be? So I'm going to cut into him. I'm going to throw some shade on him. And then he'll have to defend it. So what you say to someone who brings up your past is like, yeah, I remember I used to do that, but I'm different now.
So if I repent, like, of the things that I did with them, or I know I've led some people astray.
Okay.
In my sin. Okay. But, and I've repented for that, and I've even gone back and apologized to those mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. Does that seal it for me? That's it.
Okay. Yeah. But where we miss it is when we try to get them to understand who we really are. That's where we miss it. When we try to get them to see, I'm different now. You got to see that. Every time I do that, I'm giving you my power. I just turn over my power to you because we used to be special. What I mean by that is we knew how to manipulate. So the best way I can manipulate that is to make sure I never see it. Because you're going to spend all your time trying to win me over instead of going about your business. You know, I mean, have we ever spent time talking to people that we're trying to win over? And they say, OK, honey, this is fun. I made them miss their appointment. I made them miss their dinner. How many of you guys have been thrown at, what you doing angry? I thought Christians wasn't supposed to be angry. Because you started to get vocal, trying to get them to see what they choose not to see. Amen? I got to teach them relationships. Okay, I got a mic.
So in other words, you're saying you can't base your growth based on the response of somebody else mm-mm. to you, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Because they could always move the...
They'll always move the gauge. Thing,
the gauge.
Okay. Yeah. You base your growth based off what he says about you, what God says about you.
Okay.
Yeah. Got no? Yes, ma'am.
So if you bring up in a marriage,
okay,
you say don't let the 24 hours go by. How do you handle if your spouse or yourself aren't ready to talk about it within that 24 hours?
So you bring it up and to mark the date, boom, and stamp the date. And now if the spouse saying they're not ready to talk about it, or you're saying you're not ready to talk about it. Either way, once I brought it up, then I timed date and stamped it. So the next question I'm going to ask is, let's say if it's the spouse, let's say if it's you, sir, then when can we get together and discuss this? So you're asking for a timeline, okay? But you already stamped it. And if you're the one who's bringing it to the person, I wouldn't bring it up until I'm ready to talk about it, even if I missed that timeline. So you missed that timeline. Okay. If you're the one that knows it exists and you don't want to talk about it, but you know what's going on, I would wait for the next time, if the next time happens.
Okay.
But the other person has the right to say, well, I'm not comfortable talking about it right now, but I'll talk to you tomorrow, or I talk to you the next day. But that person has to have a timeline so you know what to expect. Okay. Y'all got it? They have to give you a timeline. You just can't say, we'll talk about this later, because later never comes. Well, what time is later? You follow me? I got to stop right here, guys. All right, I guess we pick up on next Sunday on the relationship about forgiveness. But anyway, we still going to talk about Back to the Future. But just forgive yourself in the sense that, I want to say this. Don't beat yourself up because who you married manifested. That's the best way I know how to say that. Okay. And if you don't believe me, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, is my spouse, is that new behavior or was always like that? You can ask them. And he'll tell you. He'll show you. Don't marry into anything that is not pleasing right then. Because if you're this female and you're marrying a male, if you don't trust his decisions, don't marry him, because you are going to have to submit to that. If he's not a conversationist and you used to talking, don't marry him, because he's not going to talk. Don't marry what you hope is going to change. Marry what is there is what is there. Focus on what you have instead of what's missing. Amen? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity. But most of all, I thank you that as I pray, you allow the service to go the way that you know where your children are and you know what they need. So as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I just want to thank you in advance that we serve a God that is always making plans for us to grow, always making plans for our future. He doesn't look at our past, because if he did that, he would not have came and died on the cross for us. Because while we were sinners, he yet died for us, because he knew that we would accept him as Lord and Savior. So if I'm talking to you today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, that means you listen to what he says and be willing to do it. And Savior, that means that you know that if you was to close your eyes today, and you know exactly where you would go. So that opportunity exists today, and it's simple. And all you have to do is pray this prayer with me. You ready, Ashley? Father, in the name of Jesus, repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, forgive me of all my sins. Your word says in Acts 2:21, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus, I call on your name now. I ask you to come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Therefore, according to your word, I am now saved. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you did that, if you prayed that prayer with me, just go to chosenrva.com and you could go to the page where it says salvation. And there are teachings going on there that tell you what just took place. Amen.
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, join Pastor Paul for Sunday service at 10 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries. The website is www.chosenrva.com or call at 866-333-9505.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.